Some years ago, a little book came out. I say some years ago, this was back when cultural Christianity was the norm. It was pretty much everybody was a Christian and all this. And this this little booklet became a bestseller because people saw in it the opportunity. It's like how to succeed in business type of book thing. But it was called The Prayer of Jabez. And I didn't like it. I thought the whole movement was, you know, rather rooted in materialism. And it's taken me a while to get back to the Prayer of Jabez because it is actually in the Bible. So some good to be found in it. Well, let's look at this in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, and the King James margin explains to us that means sorrowful, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst, or if thou wilt, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Coast is simply the word for border. And that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me, or do me, from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So as I say, it was turned into a thing. Here's, you utter this prayer, and then you get more stuff. But there is a great deal to learn, I believe, from this. This is the story of a man who knew how to work through prayer. And that's really why we're here for prayer meeting, wanting to learn how to work through prayer. All we know of this man is found here. You ever stop to think if they put a one-line biography of you, you know, what would it be? Here's his. This is the biography, the epitaph. This is the whole summary of his life. A man knew how to pray and to receive from God. So the passage memorializes him as a man of prayer who labored for God through prayer. And I think that's quite worthy. Notice the three features of this account: the man, his prayer, and the answer that he received. First of all, the man who prayed, verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. In this verse, two matters concerning his history are mentioned. Something of his adverse background, I bear him with sorrow, since almost every birth is accompanied by pain and sorrow, prophesied to Eve at the time of her sin. It's unlikely that this child among his brothers was named sorrowful because of labor pains. Now, it's possible. Perhaps it was, you know, he was a breech or whatever other problems they can have. But I think maybe his name was given because of the circumstances surrounding his conception and birth. The name literally means causing pain, causing sorrow. Now, whether this refers to the child himself, little temper tantrum brat, I don't know, or to the condition of the family at the time, we don't know. But he became so associated with sorrow that his mother named him that. Some cause of sorrow Jabez had in the family circle, but his mother and brothers are left nameless. Some people are born to privilege and wealth, and their success in life is pretty much taken for granted, you know. When a child is born under sad conditions, often people look at that child with little hope held for his success. Jabez then becomes the exception. I don't know if it's exactly a rags to riches, but it was certainly sorrow to success. in the greatest sense of being a success with God. Then his outstanding honor. Besides being a great prayer warrior, we recognize here that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Trying to get an idea of what this means, the Hebrew word for honorable in this particular form means to be made heavy, weighty, having a weight about it, honored, enjoy honor, be made abundant, to get oneself glory or honor, to gain glory. The early Jewish writers connected Jabez to the town mentioned in 1 Chronicles 2:55. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites, the Shimeathites, and the Sukathites. These are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab. So they concluded that he was a doctor of the law. The Jewish Targum adds, and wiser in the law than his brethren. That's how they thought of someone being honorable. So they imagined that his scholarship drew so many around him to learn that the place became known by his name. But there's no known connection between the man and the town. They like to match things like that. So the only thing we know for sure is that he was a man of prayer. And when you stop to think about it, that's often a mark of being honorable all by itself, isn't it? This is, of course, a field of endeavor open to every believer. Jabez did not allow the circumstances of his birth to make him feel restricted in the blessings of God. He did not consider himself doomed to a life of failure. This man is brought up in the passage to showcase his success in life as a result of prayer. You and I have that avenue open to us. And while we may have differing ideas of what success is, I think we would agree that true success is what God thinks is best. If you are successful before God, then you are truly successful, whatever men may think. The second thought is this, the prayer that he prayed. The first part of verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, praying to the right God, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Very often, especially in the Old Testament, this word evil doesn't speak of wickedness. It speaks of calamity, of chaos, of problems. So notice here to whom he prayed, called on the God of Israel, referred to the God of Jacob, you know, Jacob's name changed to Israel, or to the God of the nations of Israel. God had changed the deceiver Jacob into a prince with God, Israel. The El is God. It is likely, however, that it refers to the nation. Jabez thought of himself as a member of the great nation of Israel. God's record of helping Israel was given fully in the Bible. Jabez understood that God had entered into a covenant with the nation, so he called upon him with the full assurance of faith that he would receive an audience with the Lord. Now, we are not of Israel. I don't think most of us can trace our lineage back to the Jewish heritage. But Christians have been brought near to God through Christ's new covenant. We have been openly bid to come before God, to enter before his presence. So, when we call on the name of our God, then we are truly doing what he asks. Notice again how he prayed, saying, oh, that thou wouldst. This is actually in the form of a vow. It's like Jacob in Genesis 28, 20 to 21. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, then I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Here, with Jabez, it's an unfinished vow. Such vows were often uttered in prayer at the time a man was entering into an important or critical activity. And we don't know what he was vowing to do if God blessed, but this is in that form. The vow seems interrupted by the divine fulfillment of the request. Even before he specified what he would do, God began to honor him. The vow may have been one of those times that God answered before the asking was completed. And then what was it that he prayed? Bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He prayed for a divine blessing. It is not wrong to do that, is it? In the truest sense, a blessing is adding something to us. We bless the Lord not by adding anything to him, but by proclaiming his greatness. He blesses us by providing for us, his providence to us. So Jabez considered the divine blessing of greater importance than material things, and so made it his first request. I like what Matthew Poole said, "I trust not to mine own or people's valor, but only to thy blessing and help." I think that's the idea behind this request. He knew that without God's blessing, all other things are of but little value. In this, Jabez recognized a truth that many Israelites forgot when they turned to the idols of the nations around them. For you and I, we have Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or heavenly things in Christ. It's literally just a plural, in the heavenlies. Probably all three heavens. So he prayed for a divine blessing. But also in this prayer, he prayed for divine enlargement. Enlarge my coast, enlarge my border. Jabez was praying for more land to possess. Before we condemn the request as greedy and selfish, let's consider the background. On the one hand, Jabez may have been preparing to take more of God's promised land from the Canaanites. That was a command. And here's a man who steps up and says, let me be the one who clears the land of these enemies of God. Joshua 13:1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. The Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. God tells it like it is, you know. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So if this is the case, Jabez may be pictured of asking God to give him more of that which he had promised to his people, calling on the God of Israel to fulfill the goal of the God of Israel. Instead of lazily waiting for the occupied territory to fall into his lap, he prayed that God would help him take what was promised. He was ready to march. Jameson Fawcett Brown. The enterprise was in all probability, in their opinion, the expulsion of the Canaanites from the territory he occupied, as this was a war of extermination which God himself had commanded. His blessing would be the more reasonably asked and expected in preserving them from all the evils to which the undertaking might expose him. If I start fighting them, they will probably fight back. They will probably try to retaliate, that they could come down gathering their friends together with unimaginable problems. But God is over all. This is a man pictured in this way as thinking that he's going to enter into a battle, but he recognizes the victory is God's. This is the way we need to be. But on the other hand, Jabez may be pictured as asking God to enable him to restore the fortunes of his family in Israel. Going back to that sorrowful thing, whatever happens there, he perhaps seeks to repossess all the land given to his family by divine allotment. In this case, Jabez was seeking to repair the failures of the past within the family circle, to renew the hopes of the rising generation of the future. We don't know, but we have God's word on this, that he was more honorable. So it was an honorable request. William E. Blackstone, born in 1841, died in 1935, was an American evangelist, a Christian Zionist, one who was campaigning for the Jews to have their homeland. He was influenced by Dwight L. Moody, James H. Brooks, and John Nelson Darby. John Nelson Darby, notable as one of the early dispensationalists who was breaking from the Reformed theology. In the prime of his life, while involved in the business of building and property investments, he exclaimed, "Oh, that God would give me $1 million. I think there have been many people who have desired that. I drive by the billboard that talks about how much is in the, what's the big Powerball stuff, you know. $413 million? I wouldn't mind having that. Can you just imagine if that dropped in your lap and you decided to invest in needy Christian works, effective Christian works here and around the world? What could you do? What could they do? Just amazing. But he said, "Oh, that God would give me $1 million. I would use every penny for the evangelization of the world." This is a businessman. His name was Blackstone, but he was not a magician. He was a businessman and dealing with building and property investments. God placed in his capable hands $5 million. Back when that was really something. I guess it would be today. Blackstone was faithful to his word, became a good steward of the fund. Many came to know the Lord because Blackstone asked God to enlarge my coast. Be careful when you ask God for blessing that it is not to consume it upon your own lusts, right? Why would God be interested in giving you the added temptation of worldly blessings? But what if you said, if you could channel some of the world's goods my way, I will channel it to your work. The third thing we notice that he prayed for was divine strengthening, that thine hand might be with me. The child struggling up the hill may reach out for daddy's hand, you see, that thine hand might be with me, stabilizing, pulling a little bit, that type of thing. Asking for God's hand shows his desire for God's guidance and his power. It's a confession of his own ignorance, of his own weakness. I heard a story of somebody I don't know anything about, but people laughed at St. Teresa because she wanted to build an orphanage, but she only had 3 shillings. I don't know how much that is, but it sounds like just a little. She said, "With 3 shillings, Teresa can do nothing. But with God and 3 shillings, there is nothing that Teresa cannot do." Now, the rest of the story didn't say whether she built an orphanage or not, but I admire her faith. John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or severed from me, ye can do nothing." And then, lastly, what he prayed for was divine protection, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. Evil here refers to harm and misfortune. Jabez knew that if he succumbed to moral evil, the chastisement of God would result in loss and harm. This is like what Christ urged us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Matthew Henry, commenting on this, Jabez's prayer, said that he would keep him from evil, the evil of sin, the evil of trouble, all the evil designs of his enemies, that he might not hurt him, nor grieve him, nor make him a Jabez indeed, a man of sorrow. In the original, there is an allusion to his name, Father in heaven, deliver me from evil. The order of Jabez's petition shows a logical progression. He began by asking for the blessings of God to be his greatest good. This led him to desire a larger share of the riches that God had prepared for his people. A recognition of what that would require of him led him to acknowledge his own ignorance and his own weakness and to ask for guidance and empowerment. And then he did not desire independence from God, but asked for fatherly protection from God. The third thing that we want to ask then is to notice the, or to look at, is the answer he received. And the second part of verse 10 says, and God granted him that which he requested. The ultimate test of every prayer is the answer that it receives. Answer received, God granted him. Granted here is more literally brought about. The fulfillment of his desires was not due to luck and a plucky spirit and a positive attitude. It was God did it. It came because God brought it to pass. Eliza M. Hickok said, I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know that he has given his word, which tells me prayer is always heard and will be answered soon or late. And so I pray and calmly wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the way I thought, but leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own, assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed. Isn't that wise? You don't spell out with micromanagement how God is supposed to answer your prayer. You set before him the desire of your heart, knowing that he can do and will do what is best. Then the exact answer, that which he requested. Jabez received what he asked for. Be careful what you ask for. Not everything that we think might be a blessing would be a blessing. So always ask for it in the will of God. The answer is evidence that his prayer was in the will of God for him. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have, John tells the people he's writing, in or concerning him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. We often hear people say that we want to God to give us the desires of our hearts. The question is, have you come to the place where what you desire is what God desires? If it becomes a push-pull type of thing, you struggling with God to give you what you desire instead of what seems to be what he wants, you can get the answer to your prayer. Israel did that when they were asking for a king. God says, well, the best guy for the job right now is not the best guy. But here's King Saul. The prayer of Jabez furthered Jehovah's intention for his people. Jameson Fawcett Brown, Scottish theologians, said, God in this instance proved that he was not only the hearer, but the answerer of prayer. Isn't that a good thing to know? You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is and can respond. This prayer of faith, desiring only God's will and the honor of his name, is always a mighty power for the advancement of the kingdom of God. God ruling in the world, and that heart by heart. Do you catch the impact of the prayer of Jabez? That it's not just asking for more, but it's not afraid to ask for more. It's not wrong to ask for more, but you want to do it for the glory of God.